Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive. We are positively making our way back out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at Pizza John's in Essex. It is our birthday month. My birthday. I'm getting younger. Luke's birthday. The eliminations making him older. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. The Raven Scratch-Offs we will have next Friday in, my mother used to call it Essex because she's from Dundalk. Essex. So we'll be down at Back River Neck Road. Actually, my parents were married at Mount Carmel, right at Joseph Hans Corner and Mars Estates, across from the Thunderbird, and down by the Highway Movie Theater and Al Seafood, and all the great childhood summers I had at Porter's and Rocky Point, all down there at Pizza John's. Our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, as well as Curio Wellness, I'm wearing my Curio shirt. Put us out on the road for our 26th anniversary, as well as 26 oysters, 26 days. All of that is coming very soon. And our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, somewhere around here, I have my Liberty Pure water, 1-800 water, 1-800 clean water, excuse me. And you can find them at Liberty Pure and LibertyPureSolutions.com. They do well water and they keep my water clean. And I just have about this much water left. My mom used to have the days of our lives like sands through the hourglass. These are the days of our lives. That's the Orioles for me. You know, a lifetime of being an Oriole fan. They get eliminated really ugly fashion. Made me remember going back to those Vida Blue, Jim Palmer and Catfish Hunter Cuellar matchups back in 74. My dad took me out to the ALCS when the A's, first team I ever hated were the Oakland A's. Now I feel terrible. They've moved. I don't even know where they're going. Maybe another planet, Sacramento, someplace like that. But I inked the letter to David Rubenstein before the elimination. Luke would tell you, to be honest, I really thought we'd be in New York this weekend. I thought they were going to win a little bit. I thought they were going to kind of shock us a little bit because I thought the pedigree was, when it comes time, Burns will show up and pitch well. When it comes time, Eflin will be okay. When it comes time, Jacob Webb will be okay. When it comes time, Cano will be okay. I said all of that. I said, when it comes time, you know, they might hit the ball. And part of that was really about hitting a lot of home runs, not walking as much. You'll say they walked more. We'll say they stunk in the second half of the year. We'll stat it all up. And to your point, they scored one run. I want to give you a chance because I know you've never seen Network with Howard Beale and the great, late, great Peter Finch. I keep talking about going to see that movie. You're as mad as hell. And you're not going to take it anymore. And I want you to just yell like you've done to me off the air a few times. Just scream for me. Scream so your brother, so the deer out in Pennsylvania hear you, so your mother down the street hears you. I want you to scream. They scored
I'm not
one
screaming.
freaking run. Go ahead, do that. Just because you've done that for
I'm
me, right?
not screaming, but they scored one stinking run. I mean, look, we can talk about this move by Brandon Hyde or this move, or we can talk about Witt's infield single where Jordan Westberg he might have had a shot to get the force at second. I think he realized thought Gunner was way over in the hole, and he was pre-pitch, but it looked like he could have gotten there. But we can look at all this stuff and look, those little things are all important. And part of the problem of this ball club in the second half of the season was those little things started to really add up in terms of things they weren't doing well, right? We talk about it in terms of their defense or maybe a base running mistake here or there or throwing to the wrong base or whatever it happened.
How
In
about just
addition
hitting in
to,
with runners in scoring position? If they would have done that, they
sure.
would have looked like a
Well,
much better team.
but I consider that a big thing, right? I mean that ultimately you got to score, you have to score runs or prevent runs. And you know, but so the little things were adding up, but yeah, you know, we talked about it. Their offense started to trend in a hot cold direction in about July, even though the overall numbers were still good. August, more of that and more struggles. And then September, until the final week that really buoyed their overall numbers for the month, really struggled. So again, I struggle so much with how to evaluate the postseason because at the end of the day, Nestor, especially in a best of three, we're literally talking about two games. If you and I got on the radio and went nuts in April or May or June or July or August or yes, even September, even the second half of December, and went absolutely nuts and apoplectic about two games, people would be saying, "What are you guys doing?" But it's October, And they're 0-5 in October now with this current group, this Mike Elias era of ball clubs. And they've had a lot of success. 2 years, go back 2.5 years, go back to the second half of 22 and how well they played and were messed around and were hanging around in wild card territory, until about the, 2.5 weeks into September when, at that point you knew it was over. But, how do you react without overreacting? Because you need to react, I think. I don't think that it's appropriate to just say, well, we're fine. The status quo is totally fine. And I don't mean that necessarily means firing people either. Let's be clear. There's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of in between everything's fine and firing your coaching staff or your manager or your front office lieutenants, whatever, right? But you do have to look at this, I want to look, I want them to be taking a long look at their hitting approach. And the times where it feels like contact is what they needed and they're swinging big. I want to look at their player development even through the lens of not that it is bad overall, far from it. However, why did Jackson Holliday not quite as much, but still he struggled when he came up, after his initial couple weeks returning in August, he did struggle. Why did Kobe Mayo do the same thing? I mean, Kobe Mayo is going to turn 23 this winter. That's still very young, but it's not Jackson Holliday. Oh my gosh, you can't drink a beer young, right? So, is there something they're missing late in their player development that's prompting these guys to not just struggle, but really struggle when they get to the major
Well, I think
leagues?
the difference is they're hitting off bad double A
It's a
pitching
question.
versus, trying to get hits off that Reagan's kid on Tuesday and can't do it.
It's true, but at the same time, we have seen some other teams like the kid for Texas last September who get called up and they give them a major jolt right away. So it can happen.
Couser looked that way in April, but didn't look that way the
Well,
previous
but
April, right?
Couser looked awful last July, though, like to the point where they sent him back down. Again, I'm not,
Every
these are,
guy's different, though, to your
I
point.
have lots of
Over the
questions here.
history
Like,
of Oriole baseball, watching every Craig Worthington,
sure.
not make it, and Ken Gerhart not make it, and then have other guys like Jonathan Scope, or Mike Young flash awesome for a minute and a half, and then they can't figure anything out. I mean, it's a tough game. Ask Joe Charbonneau. I mean, it's a tough game.
It
Really,
is.
ask Adley
It is.
Rutschman right now. It's a tough game.
It is, but these questions need to be asked because they really struggled in the second half. And Kobe Mayo coming up as one of the best prospects in baseball at a time when they had lost Jordan Westberg and they would even lose Ramon Urias. I mean, boy, wasn't that a perfect spot for, oh my gosh, your top 15 in baseball prospect slugger who happens to play the same position came up and gave them a really nice jolt. Not saying that suddenly you're going to be talking about him as rookie of the year or anything like that, but you'd be saying, oh my gosh, that Mayo kid was awesome for them in September, and now they've got him coming into 2025. And I'm using him as an example, right? With when something like this happens, whether
Dude, if
we're
he would have
talking
hit
about,
two 3-run home runs and hit 241, if he'd have been Santander
right,
on a bad day
he had a
and
50%
won,
strikeout rate, right?
yeah, I mean, like it wasn't right. I agree
Right.
with
So
that.
that's where, to the point where, believe me, I'm not down on Kobe Mayo in a big picture sense, but like that's something I'm asking. Is there a hole in their late minor league development process that maybe could be cleaned up that guys don't struggle to that extent when they get to the majors? And again, I'm spitballing here. I'm at a loss for this as much as lots of people are. And I have a closer access, not full access, believe me. There isn't a whole lot behind the scenes that we get access to as reporters, even who are there every day. So there's a lot that's still proprietary and still, kind of mystery, more mystery than not to media and fans. But, I'm just asking these same questions. What about the approach? What did happen in the second half of the season beyond the injuries? And the injuries are part of it, but every team has injuries, right? I mean, you can't use that as a 100% excuse. And then when you look at October, I mean, I'm fascinated to hear what Mike Elias is going to say. They've gone 0 for 5 in 5 postseason games here. And again, the Royals fine, or the Rangers fine. Now, I suppose stranger things have happened, but I don't think the Kansas City Royals are winning the World Series. Now, You can play this back on November 3rd, Nestor, if they do, and then maybe we're having a little bit of a different discussion. But that was part of this that was so frustrating because both these games were so winnable, right? The Rangers beat their butts last October, right? I know game one was close, but those last two games, I mean, the Rangers outclassed them. You know, they didn't pitch and
Well,
they
you
hit a
mentioned
little.
situational hitting. They had the bases loaded. And I've watched other baseball. I've been watching a lot of ball the last
Yeah.
couple of days, right? And shortening up stroke with two strikes, having a different approach, as you pointed out a minute or two ago. And I'm thinking, I'm watching these other teams have success and saying, how do we not lose 1-0 and 2-1 ball games? I mean, like, how can we manufacture a run in the old days? As we would say, not bunting, because nobody will do that. Nobody can do that. They're not equipped to do that. But there's the point where this team took first to third really well, played heady ball, got on base, took pitches. I don't know, man. I mean, it just was a different approach, to your point, right? And not a very successful approach in the small sample size of. These are the most important games. Yeah, we're going to
Yeah.
evaluate them under the bright lights with more scrutiny because this is what you set your whole year up to be. And check the box. Got Burns, good start. Because that's what we said. Brought him in here to start game one. What more do you want than one run? You know what I mean? Like you were worried about the bullpen. It didn't go far enough to worry about the depth of the bullpen. But two games in, the bullpen did enough to give them a chance to win. All they needed was somebody to get a hit, be a hero, as I said. And they had the bases loaded, nobody out. I mean, it's a hell of a postcard. It really is. I mean, it's a hell of a off season in a lot of ways with injuries and all of that. I'm gonna let you wrap up because I want to get to the bigger picture and what are they gonna do a little bit. And certainly the Dear David Rubenstein letter I wrote, which is everything's new. What are you gonna do, dude? Like I think to myself, they had 10,000 empty seats the other day. Like, first thing I'm doing if I'm Katie Griggs is freaking out, calling a press conference and saying, new people are in town. These are my new people. Let's go. We're a great organization. We're the Baltimore Orioles. And I know what this organization's done for the last. They go to sleep around now, and the Ravens do whatever the Ravens do. And maybe they sign this, maybe they sign that, and maybe they put a little caravan together. You know, like I know what. And the players are tired, and now the players are a little ashamed. I think, at least for a moment or two, that like selling tickets right now and getting enthusiasm, which is where the fans are. The fans are. Because I was at the bar the other night, spent $125. I had a guy that said he bought a dozen tickets for like $1,000, $80 a piece, and then the tickets are $5 a game. Like, there's a lot of disgruntled fandom out there, but part of it is like, what are you doing with the team? I get all that, and those are going to be your baseball questions, but everything's different here. And if this guy's nuts, I don't know what Dave. I mean, I know he likes making commercials and running around. If this guy's nuts, he's sitting there pissed at Brandon Hyde because Brandon Hyde didn't shine his shoes the right way. The way Billick looked at Bisciotti the wrong way and pissed him off, and he was like, all of that's in play, dude. Like it really is. It's all in play that if the owner doesn't like Elias or thinks he can do it better, or this would be the time crazy stuff would happen if it's going to be crazy. I don't think that's going to happen. He seems sane enough that I thought I was going to have a press credential, but I don't. So you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. They have a new everything other than the things you know about, which is Rutschman, Westbrook, these guys, Couser's going to get his hand fixed. And like, we know what the core players are going to be, not how they're going to play, and Rutschman and all that. But there's a lot to evaluate here. And all of it, to your point, based on scored one run and we had the bases loaded. And the games matter, and what happened on the field matters, but we didn't get a large enough sample size. We just know it wasn't good enough on Tuesday and Wednesday, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, new ownership ties into this where you ask, where do we go from here? I mean, you think about where the trajectory from the time that Mike Elias arrived until the pitch that Felix Bautista walked off the mound with his elbow injured last August. I mean, you can point out a few things here and there. I mean, certainly no one anticipated Trey Mancini having cancer, right? I mean, and the pandemic year was odd. Player development was very much disrupted across baseball, but certainly for a team that was 2 years into a rebuild at that point in time, losing a minor league season was less than ideal. But you go through all those different things that happened. Heston Kjerstad had myocarditis, had injury issues, but by and large, From the time that Mike Elias arrived and Brandon Hyde was hired a couple weeks later in November and December of 2018 until that moment with Felix Bautista walking off the mound injured. I wouldn't say perfect because nothing
Throw
is
Means in
perfect.
there too, because Means was a bad, really
Sure.
bad thing when that happened.
It was, but even then, pitchers get hurt,
Yeah,
right? I
but
mean,
when you
that.
lose guys that look like Cy Young kind of candidate pitchers and they lose two of them, it sucks.
Right. But from that point on, or from the, up to that point, it had gone as close to perfect as it could, if we're calling a spade a spade. Now, in a perfect world, John Angelos would have been allowing a little more payroll flexibility along the way, maybe that year or two leading up to that point, whatever. But still, to that point, the trajectory was on schedule, ahead of schedule, frankly, when you win 101 games in your first year making the playoffs. But from the moment that the Batista thing happened, and look, credit those guys. They cobbled together the bullpen the rest of last year that it did well and all that. But from that moment on, it just feels like this has been way more up and down in terms of, Kimbrel being signed to replace Batista was obviously a colossal whiff. The Burns thing worked out great, but then they lost every other starting pitcher that they had, basically. The offense as good as it was in the first half, not good in the second half, and really struggled late. They've had the injuries. We could look at the trade deadline and kind of say, okay, Eflin good, Dominguez good, rest of it not so good. Trevor Rogers terrible from a short-term standpoint. We'll see what he does the next couple of years, and maybe that looks differently, but certainly was a zero in terms of helping them, and they could have used. To your point, and you made this, and you and I sparred about it a little bit. When they traded Connor Norby, they could have ended up using Connor Norby, considering the state of what their infield was down the stretch. But you just look at things now, and I'm not as moved by just saying, okay, well, they went from 101 wins to 91. I always thought they were going to lose or win fewer games this season than last season because. Unless you're the Dodgers with a $350 million payroll and you're just absurd in the way that you add free agent talent and they develop their players really well, you just don't have back to, consecutive 100 win seasons. That's very rare, even among teams that have high payrolls. So I picked them to win 94 games, right? So I'm not as moved by the decline in wins and loss, win loss record. But just in terms of where they are now, where do you go from here? Knowing that. You've got these pitchers like Kyle Bradish. What's the best case scenario for him? Maybe he's back in July or August. That's the best case. He may not pitch next year. We don't know that right now. I mean, when you have Tommy John surgery in June, that's we saw this with John Means last
It's
year.
not
He had,
usually elective. That is, oh my God.
I mean, it's it's not that they can't won't come back and they won't be excellent. I mean, Cole Reagans had back-to-back Tommy John surgeries early in his minor league career, and look at him now. So it's not like. Oh my gosh, it's so dire. His career's over, but you can't count on Kyle Bradish in your rotation next year. And if he comes back in August, then my goodness, great. You got like a deadline acquisition. But you look at him, you look at other guys, you look at the state of their lineup right now. Santander is going to be a free agent. You look at some of the, Cedric Mullins. I think I saw his projected arbitration number in his last year of club control was like almost $9 million. I'm not saying that's prohibitive, but you've got to think about it, and you got to think about what that looks like long term. And Ryan Mountcastle's projected to be at $6.6 million. I already said to you in a previous segment. I look at him. I'm not sure. Can you do better there? And maybe it is. Maybe it's as simple as Kobe Mayo. But I wish Kobe Mayo had looked, gave me a few more signs when he played in August and September.
I don't know
But he
what I'm getting out
didn't.
of Mayo and Holiday next year. I mean, I could put
Right.
him there and I could
And look,
dream and we can say they're prospects, but they're suspects until they're prospects. I
they
mean, I
are,
don't, you know.
and maybe the best example, like a recent example to use, would be how the Orioles got Adam Frazier. And if you recall, I didn't love that signing, and I still don't think that signing turned out that well. But they hedged their bets, at least in terms of until Jordan Westberg was here. And for all the I just made mention about their prospect struggling, Jordan Westberg was kind of the rare guy that. He held his own basically from day one. He wasn't great last year by any means. He was kind of league average, but he at least held his own. And then we saw him become an all-star caliber player this year. But Is there an Adam Frazier move that you need to make, there, or maybe it's as simple as, hey, Jorge Mateo is going to be coming back, and if Jackson Holliday struggles, you got Jorge Mateo there too. So, but where do they go from here? Because they were on such that rocket ship trajectory, and they sprung some leaks at the very least, right? I mean, and that might be the kindest way to put this face plant for a second straight year in October. So where do you go from here? And this is where it lends itself into what, your talking point with ownership, with a new owner that I don't think you anticipate being a wacko, but that doesn't mean he's going to be the best owner either, right? I mean, that's a really wide range
Well,
of.
I can already say that. I mean, my 6 months of dealing with them and them allowing all of the Angelos people to do Angelos things, dude, you're down there every day. This isn't, ish, you're leaking me. I talk to everybody in the media. I had Viviano on the show for 2 hours 2 weeks ago. Like, I mean, I run into Pete Gilbert out around town. I run into Sean. I run into Ravens employees. I saw Garrett Downing on one day of my Oyster tour with his beautiful family out having a brunch. Delicious oyster that day, true Chesapeake as well. So it was a game day too. It was the day they played the Cowboys. So, like, I get out. I know what's up. I'll be at Maritime Magic on Friday night. I'll be at Leonard Rasmussen's Crab Feast, where Tom Davis will be with me. I'll get to see Tom on Saturday night. So, like, I get it. We've been here since Hofberger. I've been here when it's good, when it's bad. I dealt with Tom Ebert, who was a saint of a man, who owned a team, who was a wealthy man. Like, I was around Art Modell, who told me to criticize him because that way I'd have credibility. Because if all I did was kiss his ass, no one would ever listen to me. Kind of took that one to heart. That's only been in both of my books. Actually, all of them, because that was for Peter, who never understood that. I don't know what this guy is. I just know he had a handler handle me, call me in May, intimidate me. I didn't have a credential. You do. I didn't. I was accused of being a racist, which is insane, or accusing them of racism. I'm pointing out the fact that I'm a professional and I'm being denied while they're running National Hispanic Heritage Month and Espanol commercials, and Venezuelan starting pitchers are starting, and somehow you have a pass and I don't. And I know in Arlington last year, I don't know what it felt like. It felt like didn't feel good for you to watch me get carted. You stand over there and you stand over here. Who would feel good about that in any circumstance? Like ever. So, I wrote a letter. I haven't written anything to Mr. Rubenstein. I mean, I've made some comments about not having my press credential because it's wrong. Whatever comment I would make, it's wrong. I think you can tell I get a little anger. And I've earned that. But I haven't done anything to Mr. Rubenstein except try to support his team. Bought a couple beers down there in April, so I contributed to the cause when I went to the game until I was treated like a sewer rat, quite frankly, like I don't belong, like it's the way I've been treated for 18 years, like a lot of people have been treated. So I guess that's the point I made. They don't treat you that way, I guess. I mean, that's fine. I mean, like that's great that they treat you well. I've always been gravely concerned that they would treat you as poorly as they treat me. They did treat you well in Arlington, but they didn't. Because they tried to take a pass from you. And I, as your friend, boss, our company answering front face, you saw that I burred up pretty good. And I'm still burred up pretty good a year later. Now that Peter's dead, John's gone, these people own the team. They want to buy people beer. They want to throw out hats. They want to make commercials. They want to stand in front of it. Now's the time to stand in front of it. Stand in front. Greg Bader never wanted to stand in front of it, neither did TJ Brightman. Neither did Peter, neither did John. None of them wanted to stand in front of it. Here, Elias, you go tell them about baseball, but we're not going to say a word about the $600 million we're getting and how we're trying to bend over the governor to get all the land and disband the Maryland Stadium Authority. Some crazy shit went on last year, man. What's wrong with these people? $600 million of public money. What's wrong with you people? So, all that being said, 8,000 empty seats, or was it 10? Was it 36? Was it 30? I don't care. There were a lot of empty seats. Tickets were $10, and this Back in the day when they wouldn't put Baltimore on the jerseys, which I didn't even mention, like there's so much stuff Angelos did that I've forgotten about. That I, how could I be mad about it? I've forgotten about it. That's how long ago it's been. I'm over it. But I do remember, back in the day when we're trying to get Baltimore back on the jerseys and Peter's trying to get Masson and the Masson money was going to fund the team and make it better and all of that stuff. That payroll, are we a small market? Are we a large market? What does it mean? Dude, watching this week and the ticket sales and the empty seats and just where they are with discounting tickets and August and September and trying to get people out there. And I like Wise Markets is our sponsor. The kids run the bases. Yes, yes, and yes. Pride night, dog night, Star Wars night, Christmas in July. Do it all. Sell tickets. HBC night, like, let's go, man. Bring my cop and friends more. Do anything you want to do. But those empty seats, when you're trying to sell season books and saying, we're going to hold you up for playoff tickets and then charge $125 to people when the tickets are going to be $5 on game day and banning media members and just all the crap, all the crud that's left over from Peter, that there has been damage done here. And it's obvious. And someone needs to fix it. And someone needs, this isn't about fixing the batting order. It's not about the pitching was good enough, the hitting wasn't. Rutschman's hurt. Hyde sucks. Elias sucks. I'm not getting into that. I'm not. I mean, it's stupid. I sat here and watched awful baseball for 3 decades. I am not chasing Mike Elias or Brandon Hyde or any of the play, Holiday, Mayo, any of these young guys, because there's a point in my heart where I feel like they're pile divers. They're all special guys. They're all 1-1s. Couser's got a personality. Rutschman's hurt. Henderson's going to the Hall of Fame. Westberg's really good. Mayo's got ceiling. I start to sound like Lou Baker now in Major League. We're going to get him next year, Lucas. Here we got a hell of a ball club here. We got a new owner. We're going to spend some money on some pitching. We might even keep Burns here if we get an opportunity. We'll have Palmer send a meeting. We'll go out. I recruit me. Let alone recruiting Corbin Burns, let alone recruiting Black and Decker or Under Armour or whatever Katie Griggs is going to do. Recruit me, recruit everyone. You want to talk about inclusivity? You want to talk about pride? You want to talk about equity? You want to talk about the Hispanic population in this city that's growing that you could maybe bring over because you have a whole Hispanic wing that you're trying to do things, as well as a pride wing and a Star Wars wing and a old guy wing and a young guy wing and a Birdland wing, and we have clubs and we have affinity this, and we're going to caravan that. And we're great, great. Do all of that. Put a face on it, put a leadership on it, the way Larry Lucchino did, the way Art Modell and David Modell did with Brian Billick, and just put them out in front of it in that way. And Ray Lewis, they had players, but they also had good people in their front office that handled their suite holders, that handled their people. That didn't tell their broadcasters. I didn't have Kevin Byrne on the phone with me every day telling me what to say and what not. Literally, at the end, I did. Not he didn't tell me what to say and what not to say. He just told me you and me sucked, and that I should send clips over to Chad Steele to still get a press pass. He did do all that. That's on the record. But I wasn't getting intimidated every day about what I was saying. And what kind of man is David Rubenstein? What kind of man is Michael Arougheti, and I met him, and it was the chilliest thing. I hadn't even written about that yet. That was something. I met Michael Arougheti on opening day, and his handler Priscilla. I think I referenced it in my declaration of it. Luke, I'm just not going to go down there and be mistreated like I was in Arlington that you witnessed. Why would I do? Why? Seriously, you saw me that night, and I saw you that night. Never seen you like that in my life. And I told that handler Ullman, and he didn't care about you. This is my employee getting manhandled in Dallas, Texas, by your organization, and you wonder why we're a little flippant and we're the only ones there covering your baseball team, and you got 10,000 empty seats for a playoff game, and tickets are $12 and nobody wants them. Come on, man. Be different. Be better. Be better. Be good people. I begged Peter to be good people. There was no clean. I was stupid. Free the Birds was stupid because I thought I could fix him. I thought I could, like, I really thought he would, like, my wife would tell you during that period, I was thinking a lot about my father and what my father would be proud of. And I know that's important to you. And back 2006, I sat in my condo looking out at the city being empty after I invested, after I had been assaulted, after they didn't pay the bill, after Mike Flanagan, I MF'd him because like he couldn't fix it. He promised me. He sat at Michael's and said, "I'm going to fix this. You're never going to be mistreated again." Mike Flanagan promised me that at Michael's and Timonium the night before he took the job. He called me. Ray Bachman said, "Pray for Ray. Everybody give Ray some love." Ray said to me, "Hey, Mike Flanagan's on the line, 6:50. My show went at 7. Flanagan's like, "Meet me at Michael's. If you doing anything tonight?" I'm like, "Eh, meet me 7 o'clock. I won't buy you a crab cake at Michael's." And he told me, "I'll never be mistreated again." Mike Flanagan told me that. And the morning after I was assaulted and they weren't paying the bill, Mike was like, and I'm MFing him. Oh, my wife would tell you it was ugly. My wife had to fix it. My wife went to a Bare Naked Ladies concert with Alex and Mike to fix it. I refused to go. They went for a whole night at Merriweather, and my wife created detente with Mike Flanagan, or otherwise, I'd feel even worse. So these are my emotions and what I've been through with the ownership. What kind of man are you, David? What kind of owner are you going to be? Who's going to be in front of this? Who's calling the press conference? Who's going to be at the press conference? Are you gonna rub down Kevin Brown for citing the statistics that we only scored one run in the postseason? We're not allowed to mention that anymore for the fan base that watched it because that's offensive. To whom? And for what purpose? Get 10,000 empty seats in the upper deck for the biggest game of your ownership of this generation. Tickets were $10, and the people that paid 100 are pissed, and you lost bad. And here we go. You got to hide the way the old man did for 30 years? I mean, literally. I mean, I'm used to that. I'm used to being mistreated. I'm used to not having a press pass. I'm used to not being there when they clean the lockers out. I'm used to not being there when back from Hargrove on, I'm used to just not being there. I'm used to watching it all on TV and having you witness it. And I created this company with a press pass that clearly I deserve, clearly. I mean, stop. Now you're gaslighting me, telling me I'm not a media member. We already had 5,000 people read the letter, and the letter's been up 5 minutes. So they need a reality check, and I hope this is going to be different. Because if it's not, it's not, right? Talk about whatever we want. If they're going to like not spend money, if they're going to be a small market team, self-proclaimed, and they're going to whine that we don't have any money and we can't sign Burnsy. We're small market. Well, the Yankees aren't, Red Sox aren't. So what are you going to do? Oh, we'll win with we'll feed the old McPhail. We'll feed him Salisbury steak and tell him it's filet mignon. Yeah, well, you fed him filet mignon and they told you to shove it up your ass in the upper deck on Tuesday and Wednesday for $10. Hit $10 steaks and nobody wanted them. I mean, that's crazy. And some of that's they haven't played well in the second half and kids are at school and the game time sucks and I might get killed in Baltimore, like all of that. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah, I don't want to hear that. Your brand has some problems. Fix them. I'm here to help you fix them. Really, from the bottom of my heart. Luke will tell you that. Luke's mother will tell you that. My wife will tell you that. My kid will tell you that. Anybody that knows me would tell you that I don't have bad intentions. I have a whole closet full of Orioles stuff. I've been waiting. I did free the birds. For this guy to own the team, not just to let me back in, but to fix it. I don't even care if he doesn't let me back in. Be a complete dick to me. Fix the team. Fix everything about it. But you can't fix everything about it and be a dick to me because chances are it's just the next guy. Like, come on, man. Fix it for everyone who loves the team and everyone who wants to support the city and everyone that wants that $600 million to turn into something that's not the black wing where I have to spend $1,000 and buy wings and $28 chocolate martinis Sunday morning at 11:30 to participate. Moving the press box up to the moon and throwing me out and telling me that they don't have room for me now. Come on. Don't be that. Be better than that. You have empty seats in the upper deck. That's your reality. That is the reality. And I would say this because I was referencing this, and I'll go back to the Luke, you're before you worked with me, maybe when you were in college, did you ever go to the Ollie's bargain nights?
Yes.
Did you go to any of the Friday night student nights that turned into a beer fiasco? And Angelo's had beer police up there, like, My buddy got thrown out because he didn't have his ID on him. He was 35 years old. And he's drinking beer with the kids up there, and he literally got thrown out of the stadium. I like when the ticket prices went that 20 years ago when they had real arrogance, right? When it was like they had all the skyboxes, when they had 3 million people, when before the Nationals existed, when we were not Baltimore. You know, I'm talking about 03, 4, 5, 6 in that range. When Drew Forrester was on the morning and we would get together, and I think I might have been off the air at that point. Jeremy was here, whatever. And I had this realization, okay? And this is the long way. I've been long-winded, and you knew I would be. But back then, the thing that scared me the most for them, the thing that really scared me, was when the tickets were $5, Ollie's Bargain Night. And the attendance still, the team was awful, right? I mean, this is the Segui, Kona, you know, like all of that. Flanagan was around, right? Hargrove era, probably. They started giving the tickets away. You know what I mean? They started like, okay, tickets are $5. And this was, you know, Peter was broke. Peter was upside. Then this, look, I wrote a lot of negative things about Peter. Peter went into his pocket to try to make the team good in 2 and 3 and 4 because he was so desperate. He had so offended everybody. The club boxes were gone. He didn't have Masson. I mean, the thing was just dying. He was just dying. And just bleeding money, putting his own money in. I mean, Joe Foss, everybody has confirmed this, that he put his own money and he cared so much. He did care. I mean, I wrote from that direction in Peter Principles. I mean, I'm not, there's good and bad and ugly, but there's only truth. There's only truth, literally. But I got really worried. The thing that scared me the most for them, and when I did free the birds, they had mistreated me, didn't pay the, like, all that was that era, 4, 5, 6, exactly that era. The thing that scared me the most when I did free the birds was how empty the place was, and wondering where all those people went, and if they would ever come back, what would ever bring them back, and at what price point they would be willing to come back. And it came back a little bit in 12 and 14, 16, a little bit. You know, the place was still really dysfunctional. I mean, the fact that Machado never got signed, I'm watching him run around with the Padres and they're calling him Hall of Famer and all that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, the Davis, this, the mistakes, you know, I mean, there's a lot of mistakes baseball wise, right? We hope that Elias doesn't make them next week. But my biggest fear for them, I swear to God, Luke, you and I did, and you're a religious man, you're Deacon Jones, on Monday. When you and I did the show, I was very, very tepid about thinking there'd be empty seats. Because I'm a believer, my heart, right? I really believed what it was, a price point issue. Melanie in Dundalk, my dear friend who goes to games, at a $20 price point, she would think it's the greatest day of her life to go to a playoff game. It would mean so much to her for $20 or $15. At $100, she couldn't afford it. And I know you know a lot of people that way that love baseball and they're of simple means, and it just is what it is. It's not, it's, baseball was made for everybody. Charles Steinberg would tell you that. Janet Marie would tell you that, that everybody's invited. But in the playoffs, when you're trying to get 120, when you're trying to get football prices for game one, didn't work out. And I thought the ticket prices will drop and people, and they did. Some people came. Some people took the day off. The weather wasn't, I'll hear all of that. That was sad. I mean, it was really sad. And on Monday, I really thought people would come. And then they started to lose on Tuesday. And Joe Enoch and I are pen pals, as you know. And I said to him, I'm like, if they lose, nobody's going to come Wednesday. Like they're not going to be a cavalry. It's going to be worse. And the announcers pointed out once or twice. And Ben's in, and Ben could have never pointed that out on Masson. He saw his partner get thrown out for it. My wife came home Tuesday. She said they're shooting it kind of tight. And I'm like, I don't think they have the Masson camera operators, but they tried to go out of their way to not show empty seats, which Peter did for 15 years. I just, it was sad to see $10 tickets, $8 tickets, and nobody wanting to go. And then the aftermath of how they played, and now they have to pick up the pieces. And I really hope they should call my friend Rob Weinhold and get some crisis management, because I feel like it's, they have a crisis situation right now in regard to selling tickets, the value of the tickets, the playoffs, where they are. Forget fire the manager and the coach, the stupid talk. And forget even how angry I am about my press credential. Where's the accountability? Where's the step up? How is it today? And I mean today, Luke. I mean today. I mean the first day. It was your 42nd birthday, was it?
41st.
41st. The first day of your 42nd year. There should be a real cutoff to say that was the old ownership, that was the old leadership, and we're here now, and those seats in the upper deck, that's we were in. Katie Griggs needs to say, I'm embarrassed by that, and I just got the town. We're going to fix that. And I'm here to fix it. And I'm the sheriff. The way Larry Lucchino did, the way Sashi Brown has been hiding, and they have empty seats, and they have a half-broken brand for what they should have with Lamar Jackson. I mean, really, it should be better than that. It should look like Kansas City here. It should look like Buffalo here, the football team. And I know the Wembley knee and all that, but I'm not the only one the Ravens have mistreated. I'm just the one they've done it famously to. I used to say that about Peter all the time. I'm like, you guys all beat me up for going on the radio and speaking truth. I'm not the only one that was mistreated by Peter Angelos and by the administration and the organization and is put off by any or all of it. But that Ollie's bargain thing that I brought up with you, that was sort of my roundabout way of saying, like, I feared this 20 years ago. And if you went back and read my letter to my father that I, the Free the Birds 19 chapters that I wrote, I think in every one of them, and I have all the audio, my biggest fear was that they would become irrelevant, even when they're great. They're a great team right now, dude. This is, doesn't, these are the good days. And I did look back and saw there were only 31,000 people at the game that I attended with my father in 74, the Vida Blue and Catfish Hunter era and Palmer. And I'm thinking between 74 and 79, things changed. Couldn't get a ticket in 79, bro. Trust me. For real. I was there. My dad tried to get tickets. My dad had some money. There wasn't a market for it. But the 79, 83, 96, and 97, come on, dude. You sat here and told me the other day that it would have meant the world to you if you and your dad could have gone to those games. And you just couldn't get tickets at any price. And that's gone. And somebody needs to bring it back. And that's going to involve, a shovel and some gloves. And it's going to involve, as I wrote in my dear David Rubenstein letter that I hope everybody reads, I don't know that I'm going to read it out loud on the air. Maybe I'll channel my Peter Angelos voice once or twice to make people laugh. I'll make them think a little bit because it's going to be long and arduous if I read it. But this is the time. This is the time. So maybe those empty seats are a good thing to say, awakening. I don't know. It was never that way before. And I've been texting with Dave Shinen, Marty Conway, all the usual suspects, Rick Vaughn, all of them. And I said, if the old man had seen those empty seats in 1997, think about that, Luke, that you and your dad wouldn't have wanted to go for 10 bucks in 1997. The old man would have called a press conference the next day. And I had a varying degree of opinions through really smart people. And one of them said he would have blamed Bud Selig. He'd have blamed the city. He'd have blamed crime. He'd have blamed, not my fault, right? Like, not David, it's your fault. Katie, it doesn't matter if it's your fault. It's now your job. It's on you. My press pass not being there, it's on you. Empty seats, on you. The fact that they didn't hit the ball, on you. Right? I mean, like, literally. You buy a team for $1.7 billion, you hand out hats. You can't just run and hide right now, dude, right? Like, seriously. I'll drop the mic.
Oh, you were saying that to me? I don't need to hear them do it. Do it. Press conferences, and I say that as a media guy, and I mean this in a holistic way, like in a big picture way. Do it. I don't need to hear them talk about it. Do it. It will become very evident, right? You said everything you needed to say. I don't need, we talked about everything I had to say was in our previous segment about attendance, because I think all that's related. I'll say this from a baseball standpoint, as it pertains to all that, show a long-term commitment. I'm going to say it. I don't think it fixes everything you just said. You signed Gunnar Henderson to a $300 million contract because he's 23 years old, and there's no reason to think that he wouldn't be the player to invest that kind of a deal in, regardless of the fact that he went 0 for 7 in these two games. That on from an on-field standpoint would be a heck of a statement to say things are going to be different in the long term around here. Everything, you know, Manny Machado a decade ago, or Manny Machado leaving, being traded 6 years ago, you know, that would be a heck of a gesture. And then we can talk about ticket prices going up and perks going down, right? But they did that out of order to me. And again, so much of what we saw, and I talked to a couple fans through some DMs and different things like that the last couple of days.
We all have. I mean, you and I, we live here. We're
I think
amongst the fans. Mr.
so.
Rubenstein and Miss Griggs are not yet.
I still think so much of what we saw with the attendance, and again, I don't want to rehash this. We have a whole segment. People can go to BaltimorePositive.com and listen to it because it holds up even after elimination a day later. But I think so much of what we saw goes back to what was an absolute botched August when it came to their Birdland memberships. And I know people who even went to these games the last 2 days are still ticked about it. So then when you have the face plant on field, which makes it tougher in terms of getting people excited. If Rubenstein had come in last year when they won 101 games, they would have been printing money this offseason, I bet, in terms of selling tickets. I really do. Even if they didn't make enough changes within the organization and all that. But if that had been aligned together rather than a year later after this taking a step back or 2 steps back in the second half and face planting again, you know, it's a little bit different. But, you know, do
You
it.
can
Go do
stumble
it.
on the field, but you, stumbling off the field's on you, man.
You still
Because
got to,
it. You...
you still have to win. You still have to win. Fans are frustrated with this product now, which was not the case last year, was not the case 2 years ago.
Well, you've also raised the bar for what they expect.
Sure. So that's, but again, that goes back to they raised the prices before they won anything. And I think that, and lowered the perks also, which it was those two things in concert. I think one or the other fans could have lived with. But the people I've talked to had said, hey, they raised my prices and they also cut out my discounts. And, you know, all that stuff was diminished as well. So they've got work to do.
And
But
all of
I
that to
don't.
get playoff tickets that you could have had for $10.
Sure. I mean, again, that there was a lot that goes into that. But, you know, do it. I don't need to hear them win the press conference. Do it. Do it.
I want to see accountability. I want to see a
Talk's
press
cheap.
conference. They can't
Talk.
even do that. I mean, like literally, if you can't just come out and state who you are and what you do, what kind of brand are you?
Sure,
Seriously, seriously,
but
in
again,
any walk of life, you kiss their ass because they're baseball and they're the Orioles and Brooks Robinson and all that. What are you doing today? Those empty seats at $10. Don't bury your head in the sand to tell me it's school day, bad weather, we haven't played well. It's a playoff game in Baltimore. We've had how many? Ever? So I'm not as upset about the way they played and elimination. You didn't think they were winning the World Series. I remain hopeful that they were in the tournament and that they had enough pitching and they had players that could hit. None of that happened. But I'm not. I'll let you crush them on the field and hold them responsible for that. I'm trying to hold them responsible for the greater integrity of the whole operation to say that this guy bought the team, handed out hats, wants to be a hero. All right. Where are you after they lose? Where are you after the, you know, is it a tweet out that thank you, you're the best fans in baseball, and I'm going to go away now? Like, that can't. That's what the other guy did. And I like literally, he can be nicer about it and smile more and give hats and, you know, do $150 dinners and greet the right people around town. Cool. But like, a lot needs to be fixed here. I mean, and I'll leave you with this because I know you don't care. I mean, if Katie Griggs came in right now to have cupcakes with you, you want to talk baseball with her, and that's cool. Like, but for
But let
her,
me
this
be
really
clear
falls
on
to
that.
her. You know what I mean? Like, on the business side, that she has to go out and sell this. She has to stand behind whatever the Birdland thing happened in August. Wasn't on her, by the way, right? I guess she wasn't here. She has to go and see every season ticket holder because the players aren't going to be the ones that do it. Like, you know what I mean? Adley Rutschman's gone for a while till spring training. Maybe back for dinner or this or that or whatever. They have to go out and sell this off season to the fans on the back end of whatever happened Tuesday and Wednesday. That's all that's going to be left. And I feel for her. And everybody I text with felt for her based on what the way they played and the empty seats and the fact that we're talking about it in a bad way right now. You know, that's all.
Yeah, and let me be clear, just to finish my to back up what I just said. I'm not saying I'm not interested in a press conference or that they shouldn't do one, but actions speak louder than words. Do it. They have to do it.
They need to
Talking
do
about it.
everything well. They need to have a great press conference. They need to have a great follow-up. Then they need to have another great follow-up. And then it needs to be on the news for real, not
Sure.
with somebody
I hear you.
there, because nobody's going to hear from Kevin Brown for 6 months either. They didn't put their spring training games on. They decide to not program when they're playing baseball. Like, that's the craziest thing John Angelo's ever did, but it cost money to do that. That would be like an investment in your fan base to get people interested in Cobie Mayo. Like so I just they did so many things wrong, really, for so long. And the number one thing they did wrong was they were never accountable. They never came out the day after the season ended with hope. Kevin Byrne always told me that with Art, man. That was Art's big thing. Kevin, we have to sell him hope. We have to give him, let's sign Andre Rison. That'll give him hope. We got to give him hope. There's plenty of hope here. But to your point, hope here isn't Gunnar Henderson next year. Hope here is, come on, man, sign Gunnar Henderson. And I don't know, and we do a whole segment on that. Is he signable? I mean, his guy doesn't sign anybody, right? Kind of, sort of. Like, you know, some
There's
guys just, we can't marry
always a
that
price
girl.
for it.
She's Greek and I'm not Greek. I can't marry her. You know what I mean? Like literally, I just feel that way about him. I think you're asking him to do something he can't do. I mean, in that case, really. No?
Well,
You disagree with that?
then there's no hope. Then,
Okay. All right.
I'm just, I mean, and I'm saying from an on-field standpoint, if you're talking about selling hope, right? The on-field stuff still matters. You can give away as many trinkets as you want. No one gives a darn about your franchise if you don't win. And that was always our biggest arguing point about the Orioles for, when you would talk about attendance in years where it was bad. It's like, of course, no one wants to go watch a bad team. But yes, when all those other things absolutely matter. And let's be clear, but from an on-field standpoint, my objection to what they did in August was, you raise prices and lower the perks that go with it. He hasn't even won anything yet. You did that as though you had already hit the home run and you're still in. I mean, you haven't even won a playoff game. So that was kind of my, if you were going to do that, like have Gunnar Henderson sign long term or go out and sign a big free agent, and then that's the news, that goes,
What?
because we all know that that's happening. Everything's more expensive. Groceries are more everything. We know, like, we talk about inflation in our daily lives every day, whether it's true, half true, for false, whatever. Like, that's everything is more expensive than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Of course the tickets are going to go up, but when there hasn't been that long term, like, all right, here you go, that leaves fans cranky, especially when they scored one freaking run in two playoff games in a sweep against a team that lost 106 games last year. In terms of postseason success, the Kansas City Royals just lapped them in terms of where they were in their rebuild and where the Orioles are now. It's October, small sample size, all that. Believe me, I'm the guy that's not going to go absolutely nuts about what happened here, but that doesn't mean you can't react. That doesn't mean that you don't react at all. So
All
anyway,
right.
that's my big thing. If we're talking about long term, to show me this is going to be great and it's going to be great for a long time from an on-field baseball standpoint, I mean, is there a $350 million deal that can be signed to keep Gunnar Henderson? Maybe not. You might be right on that, but I want to see you try. I want evidence that you tried. And again, you don't negotiate through the media, but there are ways to leak it to Ken Rosenthal that you've been trying, right? I mean, we know how that games work. So we'll see. Again, don't just talk about it. You can talk about it, but do these things, and we'll see if they will.
Luke Jones with the report that we should grow the brand before we gouge the brand. There you go. So that's fine, right? There you
Am
go.
I
Is that good?
wrong? I mean, like, if we're just
Get me
being.
the like the ice cream before you raise the price. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like, get me hooked on it. You know that brown butter
Yeah.
brittle thing. You know, and then if you got to charge me another dollar or shrink it, I mean, just
I can live with
give
that.
me it.
Yeah.
It's my drug. I need it. He is Luke. I am Nestor. I've written a Dear David Rubenstein. Let you go read my thoughts and my history. As usual, I put my heart out on my sleeve. I'm a Baltimore guy. I want the team to do well. I waited 18 years for new ownership. I'm hoping that this looks and feels different. and I'm going to be monitoring it, watching Circle of Trust. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Come on out and have a crab cake with Luke. And Luke, sorry your birthday sucked. Can I just say that before we go? You know,
It
everybody knows
was
I love you. Happy birthday, man.
appreciated. It was fine. Just, the baseball part certainly didn't live up to expectations. Let's put it that way.
Man, you and I were going to go to New York, Bronx, man. I was going to take you to my favorite Korean ice joint. I was going to, dude, a lot of places I found in New York since last time you went. I could do better than that big rat we found in the Bronx. I mean, you and I were going to stay in Manhattan. We were going to do that Raven Bar on 7th Avenue with the big purple thing that sits out about 3 blocks south of the Garden, right around 27th, 28th. Had it all teed up, man. You and I were going to get like some Korean barbecue. We were going to like do it. I was going to take you down for my favorite dumplings in Chinatown. You were going to try to work and get all antsy and pissed off at me because you get all riled up for playoff games and you get in your little bubble and you're like a starting pitcher. I can't talk to you on game day. So, but I
That's
wanted it
funny.
all to happen. I wanted it all to happen for, I wanted to make you miserable in New York for 3 days, especially the off day we had to watch the Ravens. You and I doing hotel radio. Come on, man. We missed out. Damn you, bases loaded, nobody out, not scoring a run. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We try to have fun around here, even when we're not. We're Baltimore positive. Hope to see a Maritime Magic on Friday night.